You may be seated. James, the brother of Jesus, once famously said that faith without works is dead, which my Lutheran forebears didn't like. But it's a call to live out our faith. It's a call, it's a sign that when you actually do have faith, when you've been impacted by your encounter with the divine, when you have been touched by love, you're inspired to love in return and to spread that love and to give out of all that you've been given. I mean, that is just, it's the expression of faith at some level. And so outreach is that area of our life where we talk about living our faith out in the world. And so our outreach committee, led by Cindy Logan and Kathleen Abel, has, for each month, has focused on a different ministry, a different outreach of grace. And for the month of June, we've been focusing on Peace Trees Vietnam, which is, as you've heard, an extension of how people in this community have lived out their faith in the world. And so in celebration of that, we've invited Gerilyn Brousseau and Carolyn Harper to come forward and speak about Peace Trees Vietnam. So I invite you to come forward. And I will say that, I mean, for those of you who don't know, Gerilyn is the founder of Peace Trees. I don't know if you're going to say that or not, but Gerilyn is the founder of Peace Trees, and then she'll tell you more. You guys speaking from here? Okay.
Good morning, everyone. It is an incredible honor to be here with you. I'll speak for myself, and I'm so delighted that Carolyn is joining me for this very special time in our community to share the work of Vietnam and how it all began. Some of you may know, some of you may not know. So I will share with you the story of Peace Trees Vietnam and healing what seemed impossible. On January 6th, 1969, the moment I learned that my younger brother, Lieutenant Daniel Cheney, US Army assault helicopter pilot, was shot down and killed in Vietnam, saving the life of his fellow pilot, I realized that my parents were joining thousands and thousands and thousands of American parents lose their children to war. Immediately, an image came to me of tens of thousands of thousands of thousands of Vietnamese families losing their loved ones on the other side of the Vietnam War. Suddenly, I knew that someday, some way, somehow, I must find a way to reach out to the Vietnamese people, to honor their losses, to begin building bridges of trust and understanding, to begin working together to build bridges of trust. I did not know how or when. I only knew that I must. 26 years later, on July 11th, 1995, the United States and Vietnam established diplomatic relations for the first time since the end of the war. My late husband, some of you may have known him, Danan Perry, a nuclear physicist and peacemaker, and I knew that we must move quickly to reach the Vietnamese people, to begin building a bridge of trust and friendship. Soon, 6 months later, we landed in Hanoi on January 6th, 1996. We were greeted by leaders of the country and a gentleman whose name is Mr. Vu Xuan Hong, who is like my younger brother, invited us to come to the House of Friendship to express our hopes of how we could begin working with the Vietnamese people. As we stepped up to their lovely house on Embassy Row in Hanoi, he was standing on the front porch and he said, "Come in, come in. It's time to close the past and open the future. We've been waiting for the American people for a very long time." I think it melted my heart. We offered our deepest condolences to Mr. Holm for his family, for the entirety of the country of Vietnam, for the profound losses they incurred. And we shared our intention to sponsor humanitarian demining in the most war-torn province of Vietnam. Mr. Holm immediately was so happy. He was smiling. He was almost dancing. He said, "I will invite you tonight to Quang Tri province, the most severely bombed battleground in the history of the world." As our train was arriving in Quang Tri province, it was an all-night train. We could only see bomb crater after bomb crater after bomb crater as the dawn was breaking. The landscape was barren and dangerous. It felt like the war ended yesterday. That day, we experienced the terror of walking alongside a minefield and met a six-year-old boy named Zhang, this tiny little guy, sitting on a stool by the side of the road, who lost his little brother and his own hand when a bomb exploded in their family's garden, a bomb left from wartime. I knew, and Dana knew, and I think all of our Vietnamese new friends knew, we were in the right place. That very day, we sat down and wrote our agreement with the provincial leaders to sponsor the safe clearance of explosive remnants of war and to bring international tree planters, volunteers, to plant trees, peace trees, with our new partners on safely cleared land. Our vision for healing had really just begun. With our signed memorandum of understanding, Peace Trees became the first organization permitted to sponsor humanitarian demining efforts after the U.S.-Vietnam War diplomatic normalization in 1995. The tragic impact of the U.S.-Vietnam War still threatens the lives and livelihoods of people across central Vietnam every single day. No day is left out. In partnership with Vietnamese leadership and the local communities, Peace Trees clears the land of explosive remnants of war. This means 2,000-pound bombs, 1,000-pound bombs, 750-pound bombs, the bomblets that are dropped from the B-52s, every possible type of ordnance. The tragic impact of the U.S.-Vietnam War has opened the door to allow an American organization to come forward and work alongside them. And I'm happy to tell you that we have been working alongside them for 28 years. And they're like our family in Quang Tri province. Peace Trees clears the land of explosive remnants, and that is what they are, of war, and supports community-led initiatives so that today's and the future generations can thrive. Peace Trees' mission is to heal the legacy of war by removing dangerous explosives, returning land to safe use, promoting peace, and cultivating a brighter future for the children and families of Vietnam. Today, 28 years later, Peace Trees' work is focused in the two central provinces of Quang Tri province and Quang Binh province, two of the most heavily, almost unbelievably impacted provinces. Still, up to 85% of the land remains riddled with deadly cluster munitions, bombs, grenades, rockets, other unexploded ordnance known as UXO. Our humanitarian demining team, which we're very proud of in our 28th year, has 200 highly trained explosive ordnance disposal technicians on 10 teams working throughout the year, clearing unexploded ordnance from fields, schoolyards, roadsides, and family gardens. In Quang Tri province alone, this year, from January until March this spring, our teams cleared 800 plus unexploded munitions, also called unexploded ordnance items. We are deeply, deeply, profoundly grateful to the U.S. Department of State in Washington, D.C., Weapons Removal and Abatement Program. They are tremendous funders and sponsors of our work, and the U.S. Ambassador and the Embassy in Hanoi. We could not do our work without both of those agencies supporting us. Our 200 highly trained demining technicians are certified to the international standards, the International Mine Action Standards. This is a very high level. 7,000 acres have been safely cleared. More than 150,000 unexploded ordnance items have been safely removed since we began. I'll move over to another part of the story. Many of you may have known my mother, Ray Cheney, the mother of Dan Cheney, her son who was killed in Vietnam. In 2010, Ray was invited to go to Vietnam to dedicate the Dan Cheney Kindergarten, honoring her son, Lieutenant Daniel Cheney. At age 90, in the heat of summer, she felt she needed to be there. That was Ray. As Ray stepped up to the microphone to speak, the local women lifted up a tiny 92-year-old woman up into Ray's arms. And she said to Ray through her translator, "My two sons were killed when the war passed by our village." At that moment, the U.S. ambassador to Vietnam and the Vietnamese ambassador to the U.S. leapt to their feet, saying, "This is the true moment of peace between our countries, when the mothers of fallen soldiers embrace." Thank you very much for listening, and I'd like to pass on this microphone to Carolyn. It is such an honor for us to be here and for you to be here, particularly Carolyn.
Good morning. Carolyn has so many stories you could spend all day talking about your connections. I am going to use the young people's version of notes. We'll see if I can read them. So my connection to Peace Trees started not long after you and Ray started coming to Grace. And I was taken by these powerful women and by the origin story of how such a tragedy could be transformed into compassion and connection and trust and real practical things like saving lives. So I went on a citizen diplomacy trip in 2016. I was asked to join the Peace Trees board in 2018, and I'm the treasurer. So I am very proud of the organization, and I'd like to tell you a couple things more about what we do. So beside demining, which is just the core of our work, and we are so highly respected for our work in Vietnam, we do ongoing education on unexploded or on ordnance that are still on the ground. Our in-country staff does this work with communities, with children, It's helping farmers who might be culling their fields and come across a big bomb, or kids that see these little cluster munitions and they look like balls and want to throw them. So we've probably touched over 200,000 people with our work there, and it is ongoing, just like the demining work is ongoing. All the economic development work that we do is essentially community-led. So we are told by the Vietnamese people what they need. We have a great connection through the Women's Union in Quang Tri Province, which is a kind of a government-connected group of very strong women who just tend to the social and cultural, again, needs of the province. So among the many economic development work that we do, we build kindergartens. And virtually all of them are in really remote villages, often serving ethnic minorities. There's a large group of ethnic minorities in the country who don't kind of have a leg up when they need to get onto their regular sort of state-mandated education. And so we build kindergartens for them. As like somebody said, we offer daily lunches for them so they have the nutrition that they need. We are working on our 24th school over 29 years. And over 6,000 kids have graduated from our kindergartens. We give scholarships to secondary and college students. Many of them are actually female ethnic minorities because they just don't have the opportunities that others do in the country. But also landmine victims or individuals who are connected to a family where they were impacted by an ordinance. We give over 300 scholarships a year. We do a lot of work related to climate change, which is happening everywhere. We have built new wells for villages. We have helped relocation of a village due to rising river waters. We provide community assistance during really terrible flooding that happened in the province in 2020. We help with planting sustainable crops, with goat husbandry, and a lot more. And then we also run citizen diplomacy trips. So this is really core to our mission and really started the moment you stepped on the land back in 1996. So over the life of the organization, we've probably done about 100 citizen diplomacy trips. They are wonderful opportunities to see and do our work live and make meaningful connections with the Vietnamese people. We visit our headquarters in Dong Ha. We get to see the deminers at work. We get to spend time with our in-country staff who are young and vibrant and fun and make us feel very, very welcome. We plant trees with the Vietnamese people. Ann Kuntz and I were on a trip in 2023 and got to plant banana trees on land that we had cleared in a remote village up in Quang Tri, where afterwards we celebrated with a big feast with the villagers. We visit kindergartens. Fran, Julie, Rachel, Geraldine, Bill Harper attended the groundbreaking of the Grace Kindergarten back in 2013. And then our 2023 trip, we got to participate in the dedication of a kindergarten in an extremely remote village up in the Auk village in Quang Binh, where there was singing and dancing and lots of joy. And again, this is just a part of what these trips are all about. We also do touristy things, like visit Hanoi and Hoi An and Hue, and have a lot of fun doing that. But the trips are very unique and meaningful, a really meaningful way to experience this amazing country. So we hope some of you can join us someday. Anyway, we are very thankful to have had the opportunity to talk about this organization that I am so proud of and so proud of the founder. It's an enduring, durable organization, and we're going to keep going. So, thank you.
Thank you. And part of what I've heard there, in Lent we've been reflecting on the whole process of repentance and repair. It was our armies that left all these landmines in another country that are still impacting another people. And so for us to go back and say, hey, this is part of the harm that we've caused, we've turned away from our violence towards your people and now want to bring about healing. That's the basis of the Christian life, right? At some level, owning the harm that we've done, moving to repair the harm that we've done. And I love that story, that image of two mothers who've lost their sons who were on opposing sides who are then able to embrace, right? That is fundamentally why this matters. It's about healing the real harm and violence. I mean, we humans are so prone to doing violence towards each other. And to othering and making the other evil. And then this movement to go against that is such a hopeful movement. So thank you both for sharing that. Let us go into a moment of prayer.